Coming up on this episode of Seize the Day.
But if you want to get famous fast, you have to be controversial. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many things that Tim has said, which are 100% biblical, but to the world and society at large, they're controversial, right?
Yeah, bro. So that's what I mean. When I say he's good, that's what I'm saying. He says things, when he's saying something, he's saying something. Yeah. It's not just another whack ass podcaster. It's a guy who has something to say, and it's shareable. If you really want to make it, if you're an influencer or if you have a client, you need to have something that's going to compel somebody emotionally to press the little freaking the little airplane and share it.
Yeah. So okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Brandon Stewart, and you are tuning in to the Seize the Day podcast. If you are a creative currently stuck in a 9-to-5 and you want to get out and start making money on your own, make that extra side hustle change, this is the podcast you've been waiting for, and today's the day the algorithm did you right. Today, I am joined by my good friend, the homie, the confidant, amigo, hermano, Hector.
I love you. I'm an immigrant. And we got one white guy in the studio, Sean P. And I'm excited, bro. I'm excited. What's up, dude?
What's going on, dude?
Thank I'm chilling, you bro.
For joining me on the Butcher Block today.
Catch me up, bro. What's up?
I do marketing. I work with clients, and you do as well. You came into marketing from a different skill set, right? Which I think is really cool for people to see. Like, you came in more from the photography, videography mm-hmm. side of things. And you landed an amazing client that's turned into like just this podcast phenom, mm-hmm. The Basement. So I wanted to have you on just to hear about your process, how that went, and how you approach things, so other people can learn from what you've done and what y'all are accomplishing there.
Yeah, bro. With The Basement, that's a podcast with a guy named Tim Ross. And last November, and just to throw it out there, I am a believer. I know this is not a Christian podcast. I'm going to talk about God a lot.
Why is it in a Christian
and
podcast?
I also curse like a sailor. I'm a degenerate, but I love Jesus. So I'm just saying, I know this is more like business focused, business people watching this. How do I make a lot of money? Oh, how do I get next client? Listen, dude, I love Jesus. And all of my strategy and all that stuff would probably be like the worst thing you could ever hear. It probably won't help you. So I'll tell you the story. last November, I felt that I needed to reach out to a friend who was on TikTok. Okay. He had skyrocketed. His name's JB Copeland. He had skyrocketed on TikTok from zero to, I think, 250 plus thousand on TikTok, which isn't hard to do since it's just such a new app. But he was getting such real engagement. He was getting sponsors. So there was some tangibility there. And then he started to fall off. And I'm like, my heart breaks when I see something that's going really good and they're running off of that high and they just go all the way down. I'm like, what mm-hmm. happened?
So you reached out to him?
I reached out, dude. I felt the Lord. I was working out in my gym in my apartment, and I felt God tell me, reach out to that kid. Just reach out to him and offer to help him for free. And this is my business. I pay my bills. I pay for my wife's dates. I pay for everything with my camera, the way I make money. So doing something for free is stupid. And for me, when I'm like not even barely making it, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was like, dude, you need to like make money. You don't need to be doing a bunch of free stuff. But God was like, you got to do it. So I reached out to him on TikTok and I said, JB, I just feel like I'm supposed to help you. Whatever it is, if you need a photo of yourself, if you need a video, if you need help with your TikTok, I will help you. Anything you need. And then he's like, dude, I really want to do this podcast. And I want to interview this guy named Tim Ross. And I already knew of Tim Ross. He's spoken at my church a lot and all this. But he was the first interview that they had done. And that's how I started that connection. And that day I went in there and I had my contract worker who now is like full-time partner with me, Sam Byers. We went in there and I told him, hey, we got to kill it. Like, we got to crush it, because even though we're doing this for free and we're doing this out of the kindness of our heart, something can happen business-wise, and like it could be awesome for us. Mm-hmm. So we crushed the podcast, we shoot it. We did not have an Ada Mini Pro or any software. It was two cameras and a Rodecaster. So Sam in post had to edit everything.
Oh, right.
Like
right.
It's so takes so long for no reason. I told him, I said, I'm so sorry. I will pay you. I made no money that day. I lost money on this white kid named JP. And I love you, JP, so much. I lost money on him. I said, Sam, I'm going to pay you $200. Just edit this for me. Come press record and then go home and then edit it for me. I'm not making anything. And I rented gear just to make it look awesome. I tell Sam to edit it and then let's push it out tomorrow. JP's like, why would we do that? We just interviewed this guy. I'm like, dude, you just have to. No one knows who you are. You have 230K on TikTok. That means like four people in real life know you. You're a nobody. We have to just go for it, right? People like perfectionists hate me. I am so off schedule, so off script. I'm like, just trust me, dude. Just do it. We do the podcast. I send an email that day to Tim Ross's assistant, the guy that we interviewed. I said, hey, and I wasn't sales pitching. I was not coming across as a salesman. I said, hey, if Tim needs help with anything, I got you. I didn't lay out a business proposal. I didn't lay out anything. It was, if he needs anything, I'll help you. Same thing that I did with JB, right? The podcast goes out. It does okay. It's on JB's platform. So in mm-hmm. real life, he's big on TikTok, but not big on YouTube or Instagram. Sure. So the podcast did okay.
So it just lived on TikTok?
Yeah. We posted it on YouTube and Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So it did okay. It got like 3K the first 2 days, which is awesome for him. That's like pretty cool. Like for a guy that doesn't have a following on YouTube. But then Tim calls me back 2 weeks later mm-hmm. or his assistant. She's like, hey, can you come and like just, Tim wants to talk to you. So I get Sam and then I get JB and then we all go. And then it was just a day of this guy, the successful speaker, this like Christian advisor, this like apostolic leadership type guy that travels all over. He's crying in front of me, telling me the vision of what he feels for the basement. Because he always knew of something being the basement that he had a vision from years ago, but he didn't know it would be in a podcast. Because mm-hmm. he's 47.
Really?
So he was telling me, he was blatantly and bluntly asking me and Sam and JB, these young bucks, he's like, will I be that corny old guy trying to? And I was like, no, dude, you've been in the dark speaking and grinding in your craft for the last 25 years. So for you to hop on a platform, it's going to be like gold.
Yeah, because people know who he is.
He's locally known.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I told him this, dude. I'm like, dude, you're gonna have the Andrew Tate effect, but for the right reasons, right? Andrew Tate grinded, nothing happened. But then it took like one viral video to be like, boom, and everyone's like, who is this guy? Same thing for Tim. I was like, bro, you have all of this stored up knowledge and this years and
wisdom
years
and
writing and speaking and traveling. And I was like, second I put you on a TikTok clip, it's gonna do like 300K views. And then we prayed. He asked me for a, so that was just like a visionary meeting. And then he's like, all right, man, send me a quote. And then I sent him, and me, I'm always looking out for people in their best interest. So I sent him the cheapest option. Most people in my world would be disgusted with me. But I did this because I really try to be led by like, where do you want me and what do you want me to do? I felt like I was supposed to send him the cheapest option and then the most expensive option. And then lo and behold, he picks the most expensive option. That means I get to pay Sam's bills, I get to pay JB's bills, and then I get to pay my bills. And we get to help this guy like skyrocket. And it did, bro. I think we've only been live for 90 days. And it has the Andrew Tate effect. It has the Joe Rogan effect. Like when a guest goes on and then they just go crazy, right? It doesn't make any sense in the marketing world because he just has that butterfly, like, who is this guy? And I think when I took over, he was at 32K, but he was in limbo because 32,000 people knew him. And I feel like that was his real audience of who shows up to like when he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't growing past that.
Because he was only in the church world.
Yes.
And never been on the internet.
No one knew him.
No one exposed or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Dude. He was in limbo. And then we took over and I started doing it my way, Hector's way. And Hector's way just means what is organic and what does your online portrayal need to be?
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Yeah.
Okay. So there's, and that's cool because I appreciate the background story because really like stories are all that we have. And so for, you know, that's going to be helpful to somebody just knowing that like it doesn't have to be some special way. It's just listening, obeying, and then really taking action, right? And then just putting yourself out there to do the work. And then even like, you know, not expecting someone to do it for free or whatever, like you're paying your due to come and edit and do all this stuff. Like, I really appreciate that about you. So there's that, so, you know, and then everybody likes to hear the story of like how stuff happens. So, okay, break down Hector's way because you've not only do you have a six, you know, not only is the basement, successful, mm-hmm. but you've gone viral multiple times on your own like Hector account,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But every time you've done it has been different formats. So like you've reinvented your content several different ways.
Sure.
And we've been on jobs together where you're like, okay, when I go viral this next time, it's gonna be like this. And we've had we've had these deep
so
dives.
Nonchalant and just careless.
That's why I love it, dude. It's just that it's, you know, it's the Chicano like bravado. It's like we just know what it is.
It is.
Right. So okay. When you broke that stuff down for me, because on one hand, most people can go viral if they throw enough darts.
Yeah.
Right? Eventually they'll find something to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
But where, and I didn't know at that point when we had that conversation, I know you were having success and obviously I'm happy for you or whatnot, right? But me like kind of more of like, it's like an analytical marketer. Like I'm trying to figure out where you, like what camp
you're
in as far as how you approach things,
yeah.
how you think about things. Cause I have other friends that have massive viral channels and they don't put a lot of thought into it. They just have something that works and they don't fully understand it. They just keep doing it. And it doesn't take away anything from them.
Yeah.
Right. But there's just different ways and different depths of thinking. So when you told me that night that you broke down every single time that you went viral and how and why your thought process.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, Hector's a real dude. Like Hector gets it. I'm not falling for this the front anymore.
Yeah.
So
people always think when they barely meet me, they're like, this is the fakest dude I've ever met.
He's too
charismatic. He has freckles. I know they're painted on. They're not real. He's not Mexican. He has red in his beard.
You're from Northern Mexico, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. So one, I never thought you were fake, right? And I know we're joking around and stuff, but I knew from the instant that I met you that you're a character. And like the first job we worked together, like everything clicked.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay, Hector's a real player when it comes to just like production. But then like when I saw that you understood the marketing side and how you approach, and I was like, oh, like Hector's a different cat. So so everything else is like just a massive bonus, like all the silliness and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go back, if we go back further, like the different times that you've gone viral, how did you approach the basement and how did you see Tim coming on to social media, his essentially like his online persona and how you wanted to present him? Like, what was that thought process like and how, so this, cause this will help people of like how to think about, cause the old way of thinking about content is over. Like we just can't shoot content and then think about the strategy later. I think my experience of a lot of successful things, most successful things, know how they're going to position that content and curate it to be able to do that thing while staying honest and true to brand. But there's a whole strategy in presenting that. So can you break that, like how you did all that?
Yeah, bro. I always use the phrase, I want to make sure your online portrayal is you. I don't want to, if you're an influencer and I'm going to work with you, I don't want to create content for you that's going to make you look like a douchebag. It's going to make you look insensitive. It's going to make you look like everything but you. Because there's some awesome people out there, and then I'll watch their content, and the content's whack sauce. It's like, this looks corny. This looks, you look like you're kind of like big headed. And then I'll talk to you in person and you're awesome. So for Tim, when I would look at his old content, it was, and this is most of the people who have a lot of potential, they just don't know how to curate it. His stuff was just all over the place and it wasn't consistent. And it didn't look online that there was like a specific mission, right? And when I got on, the mission was very simple for me. It's like, okay, make the podcast go dummy. Make it kill. And obviously the Lord is the one who's going to make it successful and bring the numbers, but I can steward it the best of my ability and make it amazing. So I literally just got to know Tim, but I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've been on the side of virality where you're right. I have went viral on an experiment. I don't really care about getting famous, but I've went viral, I think on 3 different occasions on TikTok, just because I wanted to see how stupid is this algorithm and how stupid people are. I'm like, what can I do? I did a comedy reaction channel, and then I did a pop culture news reporter type of channel thing. And I forgot the other thing that I did.
Well, the first one or the other thing that you did?
I forgot the other
one. The homeless man.
Oh, Steve. Hey, I love you, Steve. But this is my life.
That was massive.
Yeah, it's huge. That was crazy.
I think that's what kicked everything off.
That's what kicked everything off, bro. But I literally don't have something in my bones that says like, dude, you gotta be famous. I don't itch for it, but I did it for my business. I love business. I love making things work sinfully and lustfully. I love making money. So I'm really learning how to lay that down. I like the game of it. I like the game of like, can I make this work and I can bring this home? Like, it's just fun to me. And that's like old Hector. Now it's like, God, what do you want me to do? But I matched 2 sides of it for Tim. And this is for anybody who has an influencer client. I went on the side of, I know what it's like to be an influencer and what it takes to keep that sustainability. And I'm also a voice of the people. What do I actually want to see from someone who has a big platform? Because I look at some guys and I'm like, dude, you have so much potential. Why aren't you doing XYZ? I would go behind the paywall and pay you if you did 2 bonus extra podcasts or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to be on both sides and figure out, okay, what should this guy be doing and what does the person really want? So I kind of attach that to everything I do. Mm-hmm. Any clients I have, like I just worked with a barbecue company and I don't care about barbecue. I like barbecue. I'll eat barbecue. I'll destroy. I just hurt Brandon so much.
This is a Texas podcast.
Brandon is never, I'm unfriended on Facebook. His MySpace top following, his friend list, I'm on the bottom, dude. But I attach it to anything. Any client I have, influencer or viral restaurant, I just attach what should you be doing and what would I actually like to see if it was me personally.
Right.
That's what I do.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah, bro. Like it's real simple stuff, but I'm not lazy, dude. Most people in my field of being a creative, they're just whack. Y'all are lazy. You complain about your budget and your money. You want more money. I'm like, bro, I'm not giving you more money. Your stuff sucks. Why would you want $2,500 for a 60-second recap video? And it's gonna take you 3 weeks to give it back to me? I'm not that guy. And I think that's why I have a lot of favor in my world of getting clients in. I don't lowball them. I don't be like, I'll do your thing for $60. But
hey, Hector, come, I pay. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's Sean P. He's the white guy. Brown's taking over.
La raza. But that's true though, because, okay, so like, how we first met, we were actually, Sean hired us, for a church camp.
And the assignment was to shoot content all day and then produce a product every night for recaps for this deal. So it was intense, but that's where I first met you. Like, I met you in the fire.
Literally.
And it was hot. And but then we just did that same thing again this year. And the first summer I was editing, turning out those videos, but then this summer, like, you were, and like, yeah, dude, like how you just executed everything. And then I even remember, like, there was some conference you worked, and then you were sharing on your stories of like, you did 20, like you turned out like 24 like clips in like an hour, or not an hour, but like in a day.
No, I worked
or something like that.
It was a gateway conference, big church, and they didn't ask me to do this. I'm just a savage. And I'm like, what would I want to see? I think in the span of 2.5 days, I shot and edited 38 videos.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Stupid amount.
It's dumb, dude. It was dumb. Yeah. I was creatively fried for sure.
But I love that, because people need to see, and you don't do it in a boastful way or anything. Like, oh, look at how awesome I am. Like, if you did it, it's reporting. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you didn't, it's just fake, right? But you did it, and I think that's something that, like, people getting into it, or people thinking about it, or people that are new, it's like, this is the level of excellence required to operate on the level that you operate. Like, you don't get to experience a certain level until you've put in the work for it. Like, it doesn't work like that. You have to work, and then you get rewarded with it. And so, like, I'm always happy to see all my friends succeed, and, like, you know, especially, like, you know, what you have going on with The Basement. Like, I know you had, you know, in Christendom, they're bigger names, right? But you had Mike Todd on, you know, he was on the Basement, and Michelle Williams, like Destiny's, that's like Destiny's Child, right?
Destiny's Child, bro.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, and then other cats that are on there. And so I'm like, dude, that's pretty dope. Like, look, Hector just gets to show up and, like.
Bro, here's what's really crazy, getting into the numbers of it. What's cool and what I love to do is and it's not a boastful thing, it's just teaching clients. I love teaching clients when they can learn in real time.
Yeah.
So for the first go around, the second go around, it cost $20,000 for 3 months to run The Basement.
So let me ask you this, because you're gonna get into it, but then position it for the watchers and listeners, because one of the things that I really want to address and help people with this podcast is people that are already in a creative space, and maybe they're gigging on the weekends, but how do they turn a weekend gig into a monthly client where they're doing work monthly for them, or a quarterly basis, or something that, like, because that's what you did. You know, you work on whatever the schedule, it doesn't really matter, but you turn that into, like, a full-time contract client. So, like, walk that through of, like, your thought process and how you realized that and what you did, or because people need to see if it was hard, or, you know, what the process was for you.
Yeah, bro. I felt God telling me to quit my corporate job, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I feel peace about it. And I felt a lot of shame leaving at first, leading up to telling my boss that I'm out. But then after that, it was freedom, knowing, like, this is the right decision for me and my family. And I mean, dude, out of doing that, I've made the most money I've ever made in my life. It's stupid. And it's not all about the money. It's just God clowning me. God's like, I told you,
fool. Yeah, but you need the money.
I told you to jump, and I got you. Yeah. It was fear-based at first, but the Lord just provides, right? And there's just so much levels to it. So if I'm leveling up in a certain level and working with bigger people, that means bigger money, and that means more money in my account. It doesn't mean that I'm better and I'm a money chaser and blah, blah, blah. It just is what it is. And I leveled up into a new life of work. So I would do everything for free before. I think 100 and like 60 plus videos on YouTube that are private that I just vlogged for 2 years straight. And that was me learning how to use iMovie and an iPhone 5. And that's how I started learning video. And then I worked with a bunch of cool cats like Sean, and then my other friends like Luke and Reagan and Jeff. And I asked a lot of questions until I was ready to jump off of that boat and just go for it. And now I can just go on YouTube or call a friend if I don't know where to put this HDMI cord.
Yeah, YouTube University.
So one of the cool things that I was able to do, and I started with my friend a podcast called Foundational Podcast. What's hilarious enough that how God works is we named this podcast Foundational just so we can learn how to podcast together. Then we get called and start making money with The Basement. Mm-hmm. So it's just hilarious how it's foundation of the house and then boom, we're in the basement now. Hmm. And one thing I was able to teach my client is, hey, it's gonna cost 20 grand every 90 days. And that means I get to crush it, we get to kill it, and we get to do everything and make it the best of the best. I think in the first 8 weeks, no paid ads, no sponsorships, no anything, no plugins, nothing, just bare bones, raw talent, press upload. It made, I think, $24,000, like over 24 grand across YouTube and then merch.
In like the first month, first 3 months?
First
8 weeks. Okay. So another question would be because Tim blew up because also I want people to understand and just get a better grasp of his social media flow as far as like the channels. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Where did Tim blow up first?
On Instagram.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, so then were you doing the basement clips on Instagram and TikTok simultaneously?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, bro, like.
He just took off because he had a presence there already?
No, he took off because it's good. It's good content, man. Like,
which is true.
Because you know what I mean, right?
There's. What you said before, like the Andrew Tate deal, you can grind it out, but if you want to get famous fast, you have to be controversial. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many things that Tim has said, which are 100% biblical, but to the world and society at large, they're controversial,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, bro. So that's what I mean. When I say he's good, that's what I'm saying. When he's saying something, he's saying something. It's not just another whack ass podcaster. It's a guy who has something to say and it's shareable. If you really want to make it, if you're an influencer or if you have a client, you need to have something that's going to compel somebody emotionally to press the little airplane and share it.
Yeah. So, okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So in your experience then, as far as, you know, metrics that matter because you've, and when what I really like too is that like all people think, or it's easy to think that, oh, I'm just going to go get this camera. I'm going to download Final Cut.
I'm going to go buy the FX6. We're going to buy the nicest Sony we can get.
Right. Or like, you know, download Final Cut or Adobe or, you know, someone out there is editing on DaVinci somewhere. But, and then they're just, all this stuff's going to happen. But what I really love to see is that you love to experiment and just have fun doing
absolutely
the work. And so, because everything that you've done, all of the big public moments were preceded by just grinding it out.
Absolutely.
Privately. Like you just said, like, you know, you were doing, like you had 2 years worth of YouTube videos that are on private because you just had to learn how to make videos, right?
Yeah, bro.
And then you started the Foundational Podcast to learn how to podcast. Mm-hmm. And then now you have a giant podcast that you produce. Mm-hmm. So I love that. So like having gone viral all these different times, you know, you see, and you know, it's easier to figure out the story when you have data like at scale, like massive amounts of data at once. So like what, from your experience and all of that, what are the main factors that can predict or that you watch that can prove or show that something's gonna go viral? Like what metrics do you watch?
Yeah. Whatever niche I'm in, I'm very attentive to what does that niche need? What do I need to feed this? If I'm a gym influencer, I'm going to do anything I can to get to Houston and go to Alpha Land and go make vlogs there. And hopefully I'll run into Bradley Martin and I can interview him and that clip will go viral.
Shout out to Christian Guzman.
Dude, I love you, Christian. I don't know you.
La Raza.
If I'm a gym influencer, I'm going to really prioritize that and sacrifice time and put it in my calendar. This is what's going to work. And I'm going to sacrifice all of this to go do that because there will be some bang for my buck versus let me film a really lame and lazy 12-second video at Planet Fitness of me showing you how to do a curl. What are you doing? No. Like, so in my regard, whatever niche it is, whatever client niche that the person is that I'm serving, or if it's for my own content, how do I need to feed the people that's going to receive this? What do they really want? I don't want to give you something that's stale. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to give you a steak with butter. Remember when we cooked steak at the camp?
Every day. Yes. Like savages. You know you can do what you want, right?
We could do whatever we want. Every day, I would wake up to the smell of eggs and steak, dude. Not eggs and bacon, dude. A steak.
Man, Hector, you're a blessing, dude. So thanks for joining me today. And, you know, I definitely want to have you back and, you know, and hear all the exploits and the stories of what you have going on.
Let's from go, now bro. Until then, man. So man. Thank you so much.
All right, so if you like what you heard, be sure and like, comment, follow, subscribe, leave a comment below because we want to interact and grow all of this and hear what you have to think about it. Till next time, peace.
Video production and creative design by View Creative LLC. Start your own video podcast today by visiting createyourview.com. For more personalized coaching and digital marketing, contact Brandon Stewart at selladoragency.com.